let's try and borrow what the others do, right? In other countries, what they do is they will still fight to get those votes. They still have people who are in those houses who don't buy into everything. In the U.S., not every member of Congress believes and votes what Trump tells them to vote. No. Some of them disagree. And that's fine. But unfortunately here, it seems to be that we believe that you can only be one way. And that's why I think that the key is to have the right people in that house. Doesn't matter whether they have a majority. Because sometimes the majority might not agree with what the party is pushing. It is possible. I'll leave it there. It's 8 o'clock. Paddy joins us for news. And that wraps up Breakfast, by the way, with Stanbic.
That was Breakfast with Stanbic, connecting you to insights and opportunities that help you keep growing with Stanbic. The main news bulletin on Phoenix FM is brought to you by Absa Bank Zambia PLC. Your story matters. Absa.
The back-to-school season is upon us. We know it can be stressful. That's why Absa Bank and Book World are teaming up to lighten up the load. Start the new term with a win. Spend 250 kwacha or more on an Absa POS with any credit card, debit card, or mobile money wallet, and spin to win essential school supplies. From books to stationery to backpacks or calculators, Book World has got it all. And the best part? At the lowest prices. Visit your nearest Book World store countrywide. Book World, where education is our priority. Terms and conditions apply. Absa, your story matters.
Good morning. The headlines. Government reviews the CDF and Local Government Acts to align with Act No. 13 of 2025. Mwetwa urges citizens to judge government's 2025 performance in next year's polls. And in global news, Trump says progress made in Ukraine talks, but thorny issues remain. With the 8 hours main news bulletin on Phoenix, I am Paddy Mugando. The Ministry of Local Government and Rural Development has disclosed that it is currently consulting with various stakeholders to review the Constituency Development Fund, the CDF Act, and the Local Government Act in order to conform to Act No. 13 of 2025. In an interview with Phoenix News, Ministry Permanent Secretary for Technical Services, Nicholas Spiri, says the primary driver of the review is the recent inclusion of members of parliament in local authorities, a change that was not provided for in earlier legislation and now requires clear prescription of roles and responsibilities. Mr. Piri explains that existing provisions that allow MPs in constituency development committees must be re-examined so that duties at local government level are compatible with the constitutional framework. He has highlighted potential conflicts of interest where MPs who sit on councils might also appear before parliamentary oversight committees, noting that such overlaps could create procedural and accountability challenges. Mr. Piri says the ministry is therefore engaging various stakeholders, including local authorities, officials from the Ministry of Justice, and traditional leaders, to ensure subsidiary legislation aligns with the Constitution.
The CDF Act, the Local Government Act, would have to be looked at in view of the changes that have been made to the supreme law of the land, which is the Constitution. The issue that has to be properly aligned with the laws now is the inclusion of the members of parliament into the council. So yes, local government is looking at that. We are making consultations. As you know, it's not something that the ministry alone can make a decision. We need to consult widely and ensure that what we are going to submit to the Ministry of Justice will be in line with all the spirit and the letter of the law.
Chief Government Spokesperson Cornelius Mwetwa has urged Zambians to rate government's performance in 2025 through the ballot next year. Mr. Mwetwa has highlighted several achievements that citizens should consider when evaluating the administration's performance, among them debt restructuring efforts, introduction of free education policies and steps taken to settle long outstanding terminal benefits for retirees. In an interview with Phoenix News, Mr. Mwetwa has further pointed to the restoration of student meal allowances at public universities and government interventions aimed at reviving stalled mines and related infrastructure as part of broader economic recovery efforts. He also cited other achievements, such as reported gains in agricultural exports and completed projects delivered at reduced costs. Mr. Mwetwa has assured that government will continue to pursue policies intended to foster growth and service delivery as it looks ahead to the new year.
We don't want to grade ourselves. We want the people of Zambia to grade President HH and his administration in terms of debt restructuring, re-education, paying retirees who had never been paid for many years. Many of them died without ever seeing their terminal benefit. We want the citizens to gauge HH in terms of Lusaka, Ndora, which has been delivered at half the price, and more infrastructure is going to come because we need to develop the infrastructure of this country so that economic development should stand on economic growth for the country, for us to move forward, so that one day when HH and his administration may not be in office, we'll say we ran our good stagger.
Free Press Initiative founder Joanne Chirwa has expressed concern over the non-consideration of submissions made by media organizations in the repeal of the Independent Broadcasting Authority, IBA Act No. 17 of 2002, which is being replaced by the IBA Bill of 2025. Ms. Chirwa notes that this is not the first time submissions made by different media organizations through the Media Institute of Southern Africa, MISA, have not been considered, saying it is worrying that laws are being misrepresented to suit individuals in political circles. She cites the proposal to scrap mandatory online broadcast license and non-appointment of employees or shareholders of broadcasting institutions to the board as examples of ignored submissions. In an interview with Phoenix News, Ms. Chirwa believes the board should have representation from broadcasting members and wants the amendment blocking appointments removed. She is also concerned about the Minister of Information and Media's power to appoint the entire board and prescribe the broadcast charter for state broadcasters, saying it creates a centralized executive dominant system that does not support media independence.
The only other thing I think comes in with the proposed amendments of the Act itself. Some submissions were made by different media organizations. We participated via MISA through a submission that was made where we brought out our reservations on some of the proposed amendments to the IB Act. But unfortunately, when we saw the final draft that has been done, none of our submissions were taken into consideration. It's not the first time. That has happened on a number of occasions where you are asked to make a submission, but the final draft of the bill comes out with nothing at all of some of the proposals that have been made, which mean well.
Civil Society for Poverty Reduction, CSPR Executive Director Isabel Mukelabai, has urged government to ensure the Phase 2 selection of beneficiaries under the Cash for Work program is conducted strictly on merit. Ms. Mukelabai has noted the need for transparency and accountability in the administration of the program, citing complaints from the first phase related to delayed payments and indiscriminate selection of beneficiaries. In an interview with Phoenix News, Ms. Mukelabai stated that the public is keen to see government utilize recommendations and feedback from communities to improve program implementation. She has stressed that proper procedures must be followed to restore public confidence and achieve the program's objectives. Ms. Mukelabai also highlighted the importance of implementing social protection programs effectively, ensuring vulnerable families genuinely benefit from government interventions.
What we would say in phase two is that, number one, as an organization, we had indicated earlier that perhaps the government would have done away with the Cash for Work program and invested those resources in scaling up the social cash transfer. However, we see that the government has introduced a phase two. Now, having introduced a phase two, our point of emphasis is that all the administrative challenges that we saw in phase one must be addressed. fully. They expect to see stronger monitoring on the ground.